Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Now is the perfect time to take control of your money. We are Cooley & Labus Financial Advisors, your local certified financial planners here to help you budget smarter, save more, and plan for your future.
Call today for your free consultation. Let's make your money work for you. Visit CooleyLabus.com today.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Good afternoon, everybody. Glad that you're with us as we broadcast live from the lobby of the Century First Credit Union, the new facility on Hardy Street, 3318 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, in Midtown, right next to Topher's. A little bit later on in the program, the president of the credit union, John Harmon, who's a big Southern Miss guy, he's going to be on the program telling us about this beautiful new building that they built next door. Dave Nichols is going to join us in a moment. He's our kind of our guest and guest host today. Dave Nichols was for a long time a public address announcer at Reed Green Coliseum, but also he should be given credit for something that nobody probably knows a whole lot about, at least these days, and we'll fill in those blanks in a little while. Also, Ben Windpigler, the star of the Ben Windpigler Show, which can be heard weekly on WLAU in Laurel. Ben, also a big Southern Miss guy, he's here as well. Ben, good to have you here.
Yeah, my agent will be contacting you after the show for the fees.
Man, I'm just, are you the one that get like the $100,000 a show or something?
At least $100,000.
Yeah. I was listening the other day and I heard that when Kelly called and asked me to come co-host, I said, "Well, has my agent contacted you?"
Yeah, and because it's all going to him, there's very little.
Oh, okay, I got you.
But you're not feeling real spiffy today.
Well, as you can hear, I'm struggling through it. I had my cup of we'll just say it was cough medicine.
Okay.
Beforehand, so I should make it through.
I knew that Tito made vodka. I did not know they made medicine.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty handy in times like this.
Later on in the program, we're also going to be picking our Sun Belt baseball picks for the weekend as the season begins to wind down. We'll also have our picks for the 152nd running of the Kentucky Derby. A lot of people having viewing parties tomorrow around the area as we are now into the month of May.
Will Secretariat be running?
Not anymore. Maybe up in the sky.
I was going to pick Seabiscuit.
Yeah, with Seabiscuit and Seattle Slough and some of the other great ones. But
no, showing my age here.
We'll have those picks a little bit later on. But as we do, welcome Dave Nichols, who for a long time was what used to be the Y-104 radio station that was on the bypass between Hattiesburg and Petal. I think the building may still exist in a different form, but then it was purchased by a local broadcasting family and moved. But back when Larry Fedora was the football coach here, it was the idea of Dave Nichols and a couple of other people to have a show called Eagle Chat, which actually aired live as soon as John Cox would end the football broadcasts. Eagle Chat would go on the air live from the Holiday Inn lobby.
That's right.
On Highway 49 North. And Dave Nichols, you hosted that program. Kind of fill in some more blanks for us there.
Okay, so yes, I was the host. You were the co-host, and man, I had a great time doing that.
Yeah,
it was. The anchor was station up on 49 North, but we were actually statewide. We had picked up, I think it was 8 affiliates from North Mississippi down to the coast, and it was basically just a call-in show to talk about that day or that evening's Southern Miss game, whether it was on the road or at home. And it was so funny because I was also doing public address football at that time as well, and so I'd have to leave from the stadium to get over there in time, because I also had some duties to do to host the show with you. But what made it interesting, one of the things I'd always wait on, I had the official stats that I brought out of the press box with me to the show so we could look at the official stats real quickly.
But the original idea, as memory serves, was that like when the New Orleans Saints would have their games, the late Buddy DiLiberto would host a show where people could call in and
complain, be happy, whatever the case may be.
And actually, the Ole Miss and State and some other SEC shows.
They picked it up after we started Eagle Chat. Eagle Chat didn't last, but yes, all of a sudden, a few years later, State and Ole Miss and several other schools began doing that type of show. I've always wondered why that nobody has brought it back for Southern Miss. It's such a natural fit.
And well, that's all on Facebook
world.
With Eagle Post. Yeah.
I guess
the keyboard warriors.
The
advent of social media, I guess that's their outlet.
But, you know, there's still people, because when people finally caught on that we were doing it, there were still people that were tailgating that would call in. Cell phones were just coming out. God, we're old, Kelly.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, with people still tailgating or whatnot, I mean, again, and I listen. I'm a radio guy, grew up working in it, and so I still listen to games when I'm traveling. And so I catch State, Ole Miss games, I catch Alabama games when I'm on the road. But they don't have a lack of people calling into that show when it's over.
And
there'd be an audience.
And as I recall, the show was popular, but what put it in the grave was that when the new owners – Y-104, as it was known, was owned by a Hattiesburg businessman. Well, then it was sold to a family of broadcasters, and they just didn't like the idea of anybody criticizing Southern Miss.
That was part of it, and they wanted to do less sports. Which always scratched my I scratched my head at that. Being an old radio guy that worked for people, owned my own radio station at one time before I got into the world of politics, and then I sold my station. Trust me, the easiest thing I ever sold as a salesman for radio advertising was college and high school athletics.
Absolutely.
It's the only place you could get it was at the local radio station, right? But then I want to go back now to about the public address part of your job. Now, David Nichols is your given name, but when you were you took on kind of a persona when you were the public address announcer, you were Nick Davis.
Well, how that came about, you know, besides owning and selling advertising, prior to that, I was on-air talent. And very seldom does on-air, now talk radio's different, but in music-driven radio, most DJs, if you don't know what that stands for, that's a disc jockey. They're not called that very much.
You're looking
at me like
they're
not called that much anymore.
Yeah.
But most disc jockeys never used their real name. They would use a different name because they didn't want to be noticed when they went out in public.
Or their first name and middle name or a derivation of their middle name.
So you get the Nick Davis. My name's Dave Nichols.
Right.
Yeah. We just switched it to Nick Davis.
All right, now, you also created, and those of you who have been Southern Miss basketball fans for a while will remember when Southern Miss would be in the bonus, they would make the first shot, usually. And then it
back
would
in those
be,
days we did.
Yeah.
Don't make so many free throws these days. But then Dave / Nick would come on and say, "And now the bonus," and everybody in Reed Green Coliseum would in unison say, "And now the bonus."
And what was so fun about that, we decided to do it, came up with the idea, and I went and talked to Coach Turk. He was fine with it. And I said, you know, people are not going to know what to do with this. And so I went over to – it's so funny you talk about Eagle Chat, Eagle Board,
Eagle
and all
Post,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the big thing on Eagle Post during basketball, where's the band? Well, the band was always there back in those days.
Right.
So I went over to the band. I said, look, we want to do something, and it's only going to take off if you will play along.
Yeah.
And so they were the first ones to – throw it back at me, and now the bonus. And once the band started doing it, the crowd caught on, and the entire back when that's when we were running 5,000-7,000 people a night for basketball games, and that gym was rocking.
Yeah.
It caught on so well. Real funny, if we have time, funny story about that. 2-3 years later, we're hosting the Conference USA tournament in the Gulf Coast Coliseum. Of course, we're going to play the last game the first night. I know what I'm going to do,
right?
As the host school, I'm doing public address for every game there.
Yeah.
So I do it when Virginia Tech's playing South Carolina, who used to be in.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, yeah. People thought, what are you talking about, Dave?
Florida State.
No, Florida State.
Metro
was in.
Conference.
Yeah, Tulane. So anyway, and so I'm doing it in all those different games, you know, Tulane's playing Houston, and I'm doing it in that game. And, of course, nobody's yelling it back because they're not used to that. So we get to the last game of the night, and, buddy, the Southern Miss people have packed that place out, and they're yelling it back. The next day, the commissioner walks in and says, Mr. Nichols, now the bonus will have to stop from this point forward. They would let me do it at the conference tournament.
Oh, my gosh.
I wonder if it was annoying to the other teams and somebody, somebody said.
I just remember that. I always found that interesting.
Well, heaven forbid you create a home atmosphere in your home, gym.
Yeah.
And then Dave Nichols went on to, as he mentioned, get into politics where he's, for a number of years, the mayor of Monticello, Mississippi, over in Lawrence County. For how long?
I served 5 terms, 20 years, and left on my terms. I chose not to seek re-election 3 elections ago.
So being in radio, of course, 50% of the people are going to like you, 50% of the people are going to hate you. So I guess, and I'm being serious when I say this, I guess politics would be a natural progression.
Absolutely.
What made you want to get into that arena?
So growing.
We're going to have to hold, Dave. We're going to third segment.
Hard break.
Yeah. We're going to, and then Ben Windpigler is going to get in here as well. But when we come back, the president of Century First Credit Union, John Harmon, is going to join us to tell us about this beautiful new building next door and his affiliation with Southern Miss, even though I think he spent some time at another school.
Oh.
In a town that begins with the letter S.
It could be worse.
Yes, it could be worse. It could be worse.
Yeah, it could have been that TSUN.
Yeah, but we'll talk with John Harmon, the president of Century First Credit Union, when the Live Eagle Hour continues in just a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Bob Getty out today, so I'm Kelly Sander. Ben Windpigler is here as well, star of the Ben Windpigler radio program. We're going to get Ben more actively involved. In the third segment, too, we're going to be talking with Ben. But I encourage Ben to get in here on the conversation.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah, I got to save the voice.
Yeah, that's right.
I got to preserve it for next Tuesday. My fans are waiting.
That's right. Is it 9 to 10 a.m.?
9 to 10 a.m.
Every Tuesday morning on WLAU.
And Wednesday.
When it's successful, they expand it to 2 days, right?
When you got it, you got it.
Yeah, and apparently, whatever you've got, I wish you'd keep it over there today. Live at Century First Credit Union at 3318 Hardy Street. John Harmon joins us now. He's the president of the credit union, and we want to thank you, Mr. Harmon, for having us here, first of all. And if for somebody that was raised around the Columbus, Mississippi area, which is closer to the S word, universities, obviously you went to Mississippi State, but then you kind of grew in affection towards Southern Miss.
Migrated south in South Mississippi, and Southern, of course, it's a great area, great place to live. Would not want to go back up there as a permanent resident because there's so much going on in South Mississippi. Southern, with everything that they do, with the university, you know, and the whole area, there's something all the time. Entertainment, plenty to do. You're close if you want to go to the coast, if you go to New Orleans, Jackson. But it's just a great place. I love it down here.
It's interesting you say that because I've told people who have sent their kids to State or Ole Miss or wherever, and they go, well, we give to Starkville and Oxford says, look, you better not forget Ole Miss if you own a business, because if something, God forbid, were to happen to Southern Miss, then that is greatly going to affect your business. And I don't think people realize that, John, sometimes.
The business here depends on it. And we do. We were actually founded by a group of employees and professors in 1956 at USM.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And it just over the years has grown and progressed over the years. But what they had told me, just talking to some of the older people that are no longer around anymore, they said when pay raise came, that a lot of these finance companies would come over there and they'd be waiting on the employees to get their checks so they could go get paid. And they said, we just got tired of seeing that, so we wanted to give them an option. So they formed a credit union.
To the layperson, John, who might not know the difference between a air quotes bank
right.
and a credit union.
Yeah, I would love to say that we're the same, but we're not. You have small credit unions that don't do anything except offer a savings account and small loans. Century First, we changed our name a few years ago as we started merging credit union in Jackson. We offer pretty much all the same services that a bank does. Checking accounts, credit cards, automobile loans, signature loans. If a member has a true need for it, we try to work with them and make it where they can buy it. A difference is if you're a banker, your primary goal is to make a profit for the stockholders. Being a cooperative, we're not for profit. We're owned by our members or the people that deposit money with us. So we're able to charge lower interest rates, pay better fees, and still provide all the service.
I think in the private sector, that's called like a mutual company.
A mutual fund or cooperative.
Yeah, that you're owned by
right.
the members itself.
Right.
Right.
Sure.
So how does – so. And when you mentioned that it was founded by the professors and whatever at Southern Miss, was a prerequisite then that you had to be?
You had to either be a student or an employee at the university when it started. And it was up until in the early 90s before you could actually add Hattiesburg Clinic to the field of membership. And now we've got over 80 different groups can be a member. But if you live, work, or worship, or attend school in Forest, Jones, or Lamar County, in most of those areas, or Hines County, you can be a member of the credit union. So it's really open much more so than it used to be.
Yeah. Mr. John, I wanted to ask you, first of all, I know y'all operate here, obviously, in Hattiesburg. Y'all have got this beautiful, beautiful new building. We'll talk about that in a minute. But y'all also have other areas. I know you're in Laurel and actually a new branch.
Right. Laurel, we're the post office and bought a deal in North Laurel Shop, close to North Laurel Shopping Center, and moved the office there. We've got an office in Clinton, an office in Senatobia, South Haven, and we're in the process of establishing an office in Biloxi.
Oh, wow.
So we will go from top to bottom real soon.
What about the Harmon building in Steens? Are they going to
No, Steens doesn't have very much.
Doesn't have a credit union.
Well, speaking of buildings, y'all have got this beautiful new building that y'all just opened recently. Tell us all about that.
All right, what we bid, it actually got... We outgrew it before we moved in it almost. It's an administrative building.
Okay.
So we keep all of our back office operation, card services, and everything. So everything in the branches or member-facing where that is going to be back office and support service.
Gotcha. One thing I wanted to ask you, too, when I knew you were coming on, I've known you for a little while. I worked with you at Southern Miss when we were doing tickets and everything. Obviously, you're not from the area originally, but you've been here a while. One thing I always like to talk to business owners about, is, especially here in Hattiesburg, and I always did when I worked there at Southern, as I think sometimes people forget as business owners in the area, the importance of, as a business, not just an individual, but as a business, supporting the university. And y'all really have figured that out. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, the university is more or less key to me, to this area. Mm-hmm. And they say it's the hub city, and it is. But so much of it is driven by the university. You know, our football program is not where I'd like to see it right now.
Right.
Our baseball program is great, and I really think we've got a good nucleus of coaches. I like the direction the university is going into from an athletic standpoint, but just the people that come in, whether you're coming in for a ball game, you're coming in to go to school, alumni events, or the entertainment that they have. USM is just is fantastic. Awesome. It really is. And then, yes, I did graduate from that other school up in the S area.
Well, again, as I told Kelly, it could be worse.
It could be worse. But I lived in Columbus, or right outside of Columbus, a little community called Steens. Lived at home and commuted back and forth. So I went there because it was close.
Yeah. What's the biggest problems facing professionals in your business today, Mr. Herman?
Really and truly, I think a lack of some talent coming in that has the broad knowledge in terms of people for smaller credit unions is a lack of people that have administrative, accounting, operations, and lending. So there's kind of a void there.
One thing I want to ask you, too, I know that y'all stay on top of it, but obviously technology is a huge part of banking now. How much, because in today's world, AI is the buzzword, and I see you over there.
The buzz letters.
The buzz letters. Yeah. How much is that kind of technology involved in what y'all do?
It's not as much right now as it's going to be. We're evolving more and more into it, but AI people so many times think that they don't use AI.
Yeah.
If you got a smartphone, you use AI.
Yeah, that's right.
So much of the stuff now is AI. Our mobile app, you know, you're interacting with artificial intelligence on that. If something hits on your debit card and you need to make a phone call and do something, well, AI is doing that. But all of our transactions through our debit card are screened through an AI network that we have a third party with. If there's a problem with a particular vendor, it'll flag it and send you a notice. So it's just stuff just to try to protect our members' assets.
And we kind of joked on the show that we're showing our age a little bit when Dave Nichols was here earlier, but one of the ways that I show my age to Mr. Harmon is one of the things that I worry about going forward is that the especially like in the industry that you're in, so much of it was Mr. So-and-so was the banker, mm-hmm. right? I mean, everybody knew who their banker was. Mm-hmm. They always knew them by name. They shook mm-hmm. their hands. The personal touch. Are we getting away from that?
More so than I would like to see it. We try to keep that personal touch.
Sure.
Unlike a lot of other financial institutions, our loan officers that you sat down with, they make the loan decisions in probably 95% of the cases.
Mm.
Those other 5% exceed a limit that they have set, so they have to get with either another loan officer to combine or get with administration to approve those loans or the board. But we want our customers, our members that come in, to deal with that person face-to-face and then make that decision. So when you walk out, you're not, well, I hope they may approve it when they send it up to central underwriting.
Yeah. So, and the day of virtual tellers and VTM, that's a big deal to have a personal touch.
It is. And we looked at doing that. As a matter of fact, as you can see, we're painting the inside, doing some renovation in this office. We looked at putting in a virtual teller. Talked to some of our members, and our members didn't want it.
Yeah.
So we want them to be able to walk up, and yes, people are more expensive than that machine in the long run, but we want to be able to walk up and see a patient.
And looking right in front of me here at Century First Credit Union in Hattiesburg at 3318 Hardy Street, I can see not one, not two, not three, but four windows open, all with, well, as far as I know, they're alive.
That's right.
It looks that way.
John Harmon, we wish you nothing but continued success, and thank you for
thank
being
you.
Our host
and,
today.
And thanks, SuperTalk, for joining us. Always great to have y'all with us.
We're glad to be at Century First Credit Union. We're going to continue our discussion with Dave Nichols on the other side of the break. Also talk with Ben Windpigler a little more about it. And there is a schedule change with Southern Miss Baseball.
Yeah, we got to get on that.
Because of the rain. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and have more stuff when we continue live in just a moment.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Thanks again to the president of the Century First Credit Union, John Harmon, for joining us. I think it's pretty clear about how strongly he feels about Southern Miss and its importance with business connections to the university and vice versa. We're glad to have him supporting us and having us here at their facility again. I was telling the guys prior to the show, remember when I moved here in 1983 or four, this was a Magnolia Federal Bank, this building was.
And no, it was Magnolia Federal Credit Union. It was a credit. Magnolia Federal was a credit union.
Was it? It wasn't a bank? Okay, well, anyway, that's where I opened my first account. And I said, I would joke that I was so old that I remembered when it was Magnolia Confederate.
Yeah, but you said 1983. I think you mean 1883.
Yeah, 1883. Anyway, Dave Nichols is to my right. It's not television, but he is to my right. And Ben Windpigler to my left. You guys, the rain is wreaking havoc on just about everything.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Everywhere.
So, Ben, update us on softball, Southern Miss softball.
Yeah, so softball has been moved as well. And we'll get into the baseball updates as, in just a minute. But softball has been moved. They are in Monroe this weekend. Well, Monroe is here for us in baseball, but they will start tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And then the first game, the second game, when I worked at Mississippi Braves, people always used to call me and ask me what time the second game of the doubleheader started. And that's my favorite question. 45 minutes after the first, every time. So 11 o'clock will be the first pitch there in Monroe.
Of course, and if they were particularly sharp, they would say, well, when does the first game end?
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
And the men also, tonight's game one, because rain is projected all the way through the wee hours of tomorrow morning. They went ahead and pushed the doubleheader. They will play a doubleheader tomorrow beginning at 1 o'clock at the Pete. And it's my understanding that Friday night tickets will, you know, be honored.
That is correct.
For tomorrow. And then, of course, and I'm guessing just one ticket is good for the whole day.
Yeah, they're not going to clear out the stadium. Because, yeah, it's one ticket, and if you have one, you can, if you want, just want to come in for the second game, which is likely what I'm going to have to do, you can just, it's the same ticket.
Yeah, this is softball, just a couple weekends left, and the men just 3 weekends left in the regular season. So things are wrapping up here pretty quickly, and these are all big games because these standings – really close to each other. Everybody's pretty close.
Yeah, you know, in baseball, Monroe is fighting big time to make the playoffs. So this is a huge weekend to them.
That they've never been in since they've been in the Sun Belt. So so there's something that the Warhawks are definitely playing for.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really tough Saturday. You know, nobody likes a doubleheader. So it will put a – I mean, we've got a deep pitching staff, but anytime you've got a doubleheader, it's going to put a pretty good strain, men and women, the softball team as well on the pitching staff.
Yeah, not just the baseball team will have to pace itself, but the – patrons in the right field roost in the 16-ounce lounge.
You gotta just ease up a little bit. Don't start too early.
And this
themselves.
Monroe team is Jekyll and Hyde. Yeah. They swept Texas State.
Yeah.
They took the series from Louisiana. You know, they were swept by Southeastern.
And weren't
not a bad ball club.
No,
but still.
And they weren't supposed. I mean, they were picked to finish dead last. I mean, by a long shot. Before the season started. So the fact that they're here, they're riding a pretty good wave right now. But Dave Nichols, I wanted to get back to you before we talk to Mr. John Harmon. I'd asked you in the first segment that, you know, being in radio, like I said, 50% of the people are going to like you, 50% of the people are going to hate you. But then you got into politics, mayor of the town of Monticello, where it just feels like home.
It does.
By the way, for 20 years. So what made you decide to make that leap?
So how I got into radio, my dad was in radio. And so I grew up in the business. And one of the things he told me, he said, because he managed stations, and he said, son, these communities give us the opportunity to make a living. We need to be a part of the community, and we need to give back. And so I learned about community service at a very young age. And then my dad was always a very also active in politics, again, going way back into the early mid-70s. Trent Lott ran for the United States House of Representatives on the Gulf Coast. My dad worked on his campaign. We were living in Biloxi at the time. And so that was my first true introduction to politics, and I fell in love with it and always kind of, you know, was involved with it. And there in Monticello, had several people come to me. This was even before I'd moved there. We bought the radio station, had not moved to town various reasons why we had not moved there at the time, people come, hey, you need to run for mayor. You need to run for mayor. So let me get moved here first. And so when we got moved there, people came back. All right, you're here. Run. We're gonna back you. We'll support you. I did, and won a race I probably should not have won.
And then you heard that Hillary Clinton was thinking of moving there. Like she no,
that's why I chose to seek not seek re-election.
Yeah, I know. She what she moved to New York like during the election or New York, it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But no regrets after 20 years, huh? You then retired and said, I'm done, but you still stay active in sports because you have officiated high school football, volleyball.
I was supposed to officiate a playoff game tomorrow. Lloyd Starr and somebody, and I had already agreed to broadcast a baseball game for another radio station. And so I said, I can't umpire tomorrow. So, yeah, I still stay very, very active. In fact, J.J. Williamson, longtime official as well, he's listening in Collins right now. He just sent me a text. He said, hey, y'all are sounding great.
I wanted to ask you, kind of, I know you were a longtime PA at, when we were talking about earlier at Reed Green. One thing I wanted to ask you, you were there during the heyday. You were there when it was rocking, and
we had the place rocking.
You had the place rocking. In your opinion, what's it going to take to get back to that?
Winning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah.
Winning.
Yeah. Consistently winning.
Consistently winning. Yeah. I mean, it is. Now, yeah, and we were getting back there under Tindall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was getting back.
Yeah.
And then, of course, everything, you know, he left and down again we went. It winning fixes almost everything that's wrong.
It does.
But and look, I think Coach is doing a great job, and I'm glad he's going to be back next year.
Yeah.
Because we haven't done everything we said we would do for him
that
when he came.
True. Okay. That is true.
And we have a history of that, by the way. I say we because I love Southern Miss. I'm a Southern Miss guy through and through. Didn't graduate there, did go to school there, took some classes. I wasn't smart enough to graduate. I'm not like Kelly, you know.
No, he took the Jimmy Buffett route. that going to class was merely a suggestion.
Isn't it optional?
Yeah, see.
I mean, I'm paying for it.
See?
It's my option.
Yeah, yeah, see.
I think winning and then, last week, I didn't know he was going. Kelly and I were at the softball game. And, man, what a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
And
they're pulling crowds.
And
that's what I'm going to. The promotions they do, the music they play, it makes you want to come be a part of it. That's one of the things that bothers me. I'm not afraid to speak my mind.
Yeah.
When I go to our football games, when I go to our basketball games, I understand not everybody listens to the same music that I listen to.
Right.
But there's this thing called variety.
Yeah.
Don't play one genre that the people who have money.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I have money, but you get
you know,
what I'm
you
saying.
Know Kelly saying.
The people with disposable income that are going to buy.
Old people.
I resemble that remark.
Yeah.
But people that are going to, not only buy the season ticket, they're going to buy the concessions, they're going to buy a new shirt, hat, whatever. You don't play any music for them. You have no promotion geared towards them. Why do they want to keep coming back?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
So we've got to get a better job in basketball at being everything to everybody that's there.
Well, I'll say
including
this,
everybody.
And I know a lot of them that are still there, and I know them well, but when I have to sit as close as me and Kelly are sitting right now, and I have to yell to the person next to me to talk to them the music's just a little too loud, and I'm 30, so that's saying something.
Yeah.
But you know, and I'm sitting here listening, and both of what you're saying is accurate, but the first thing you said is the most
important thing.
Win.
Yeah.
If you win, they're not going to care how loud the music is.
Nope.
They're not going to care that it's $7 for a Coke or whatever it is. They show up, and that's why baseball has been so successful. Going into these last series, you guys, and we've kind of batted this around, if you'll pardon the pun, if the Eagles don't happen to sweep Monroe, they've got JMU, not a very strong team, Georgia Southern at the bottom of the heap. Would they have to sweep the last two in order to preserve what is perceived a regional host spot in the postseason?
It all depends on what the teams just below them and just ahead of them do. So if they win the series and some of the couple of the teams ahead of them don't take care of their business, and it's been that kind of year, they would still have that opportunity to host. But here's the thing. Take care of business and don't worry about what somebody in front of you or behind you does.
Yeah, that's right. No, I would agree. I do think they need to sweep at least one of the series. I think we've got the national recognition to where if we take care of business, I think we need to win all three series. I think that's a given. I think that we're too tight with some of the other teams. I think there's still a possibility that I don't know that they'll do this, but I think there is still a possibility that all three Mississippi teams can host.
There is history that has happened. Florida has hosted.
Yeah.
The state of Florida has hosted three regionals.
Yeah.
California has hosted three regionals. There is history for that.
It's a possibility. We got to win, though.
Population-wise, though, Florida and California are two different animals.
I agree.
Mississippi.
But I'm just saying the fact we don't want to just give three to one state. You can't use that excuse.
That's right.
Well, when we come back, we're going to make our predictions for not only the Southern Miss series this weekend, but the other Sun Belt series. Plus, as an added bonus, no extra charge, lend an ear. Inquiring minds want to know who will win the 152nd running of tomorrow's Kentucky Derby. We'll have our picks.
And now, the bonus.
In just a moment.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
The Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
We want to thank everybody from Century First Credit Union at 3318 Hardy Street, next to Topher's here in Midtown. Come out and see this beautiful new building that they have. And I'm telling you, since we got here about 12:15, getting ready to prepare for the show, it is a Friday, okay, but nonstop people enter here, and all four teller windows going all the time, thanks to John Harmon,
the president. And all four of them, I've watched, smile on their faces. Yeah. They treat their customers, you know, calling what you were talking about with John. I mean, they know their customers by name. As soon as they walk up, they're calling them their name.
And they've treated us well, and none of us got any money. You know, so, I mean, it doesn't matter.
I thought I had a check.
Y'all didn't get paid?
I'm looking for the check.
Yeah, we'll keep looking. All right, we've got our Kentucky Derby picks coming up, but let's go over the Sun Belt Conference games this weekend. Let's start with the ones that should be relatively easy, and then we'll save the tougher series, you know, for the end. And, Mayor, we'll start with you. Georgia State at Louisiana this weekend in baseball.
Louisiana probably sweeps that.
I don't think so. I think Georgia. I'm going to take Georgia State. I'll give them one, only because of home field advantage. But I think they're going to win at least one.
Oh, I don't. I'm going to have to agree with the good mayor over there. I'm going to have to say that Louisiana sweep. I keep wanting to call them Lafayette, but Louisiana sweeps.
Okay.
Ooh la la.
Okay, that's what we kind of jokingly call them now, right? Okay, Arkansas State at Old Dominion. Ben, why don't you start this one?
You know, I typically would say Arkansas State. Old Dominion is struggling. But, I don't know, they're both kind of struggling right. I'm going to have to go Arkansas State.
Well, what, two out of three? Sweep? One out of three?
No, just two out of three.
Two out of three, Dave?
I'm going to agree with that.
Okay, Arkansas State's playing for more.
They're on the bubble of
they
getting
are.
In. So
yeah, so and I'll make that a clean sweep. Two out of three, we say for Arkansas State. Now you talk about the blowout of the weekend. Coastal Carolina, number one in the league, by a good distance, against Georgia Southern, last in the league by a good distance. Mayor, any doubt about this one?
Not only is it a sweep, two of the games will be seven-inning games.
Okay. Wow.
Wow.
He's going way out there on the limb with the run rules.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not go for a sweep. I mean, Coastal Carolina is just about as good as they get, not just in the Sun Belt, but in the country. And Georgia Southern is just the opposite, just terrible. I'm going to go clean sweep as well.
All right, Ben, we'll start this one with you. Marshall on the road at James Madison, two teams in the lower third.
You know, I'm going to have to go with Marshall taking two out of three. James Madison is just the disappointment, in my opinion, of the year.
Well, I hope they continue to be a disappointment.
I agree.
Because the Eagles have got them next weekend, Dave.
I'm going to agree with that, two out of three, and would not be shocked if Marshall swept. But I'll say, because of home field, I'll say two out of three.
Okay, we're obviously going to save the Eagle pick for last, but two really tough contests this weekend that mean a lot to both of these teams. Let's start with the Mountaineers of App State at Troy, Mayor.
You know, again, App has got a lot on the line.
Yeah.
But at Troy, I'm going to say Troy wins the series 2-1.
All right, Troy's going to take two out of three at home as your pick.
Yeah.
Because of home.
Yeah, I really want to pick App State because, I mean, they played really well. But I'm going to have to tend to agree. I think Troy's going to take two out of three, but I don't think it's going to be very much scoring. I think you're going to see, you know, 3-4, you know, 2-1 games.
One of those wins, like maybe you walk off in the ninth.
Yeah, I mean, Troy's pitching. I'm really impressed with Troy's pitching.
Well, I'm taking App State.
Okay.
They're red hot right now. And they're a team that could threaten the Eagles for a number two seed.
Absolutely.
I think the Eagles will take care of business, but App State would be right there to wait to pounce on a mistake. I think App State wins two out of three on the road at Troy. All right, South Al at Texas State. Ben, good series here.
This is I would say this is probably the best series of the weekend in the Sun Belt for sure. I'm going to have to go with South Al, two out of three. I like South Al. I mean, I don't like South Alabama, but I think they're a very, very good team. I personally think they're as good as Troy.
Well, I think whatever was in your medicine has affected your thinking. he's taking South Al two on the road, Dave.
Texas State has not been playing their best baseball as of late.
And that's why, yeah. That's...
But because they have so much on the line, they're at home, I'm going to very hesitantly say Texas State wins two out of three, that South Al gets one. Not shocked if South Al wins the series.
All right, so you're on your own, Ben, because I'm taking the Bobcats.
I'm okay with that.
Two out of three, if not a sweep. Okay, which brings us to Southern Miss at home against the Warhawks. Eagles sweep at home, although the Warhawks will have something to say about it.
You know, the Warhawks have a lot to play for. We talked about that a little while ago. We have owned them. Let's just be honest.
We have.
In fact, you know, the last time we played them, it was one by 10. Southern Miss in a sweep.
All right.
I'm going to take Southern Miss in a sweep if we don't play to our competition like we have in the past. But I'm going to take Southern Miss in a sweep.
All right. Final picks. Kentucky Derby. Here's your upset pick tomorrow. Chief Wallaby. Chief Wallaby wins the Derby. Dave?
Commandment. Ten Commandments, baby. Commandment.
Commandment, says Mayor Nichols.
Seabiscuit? No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go Intrepido because I don't know anything about it, and I'm going with my guy JP over here.
Okay, so Intrepido, if that's how you pronounce it. Chief Wallaby and Commandment. That and a dollar might get you a cup of coffee somewhere.
Somewhere.
Right. Mayor Nichols, thank you.
Thank
buddy.
You, brother.
Good
Anytime.
To have you here. Good to see you, Ben.
Yes, sir.
Ben Winpigler, WLAU, his shows Tuesday and Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock. And thanks to Century First Credit Union for having us here. We'll be back in the studio on Monday, hopefully, to talk about a sweep against Louisiana Monroe. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.